Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Hi Dave, how's it going?
Well, going well, going well. How are you keeping?
Ah, you know the way it is. it's great to be back here podcasting, you know, and to all our listeners, it's great to have you on Pilgrim Talk. And the amazing thing about this is we're not quite sure which way the ball is going to bounce, Dave, are we?
Well, we're not. And no. That's okay.
Well, that's okay. Do you know, like, that's perfectly biblical, you know, and John 3, doesn't it say that the wind, talking about the Holy Spirit, the wind blows, we don't know where it's come from or where it's going to.
Yes.
Sounds like
we don't need to know that.
No, it sounds like your average Pilgrim Talk podcast. Glory to God. So yes. Anyway, I've been actually looking at something that really excited me in the Word of God. It was in 2 Samuel 18, and the background to it is this, is that King David he was being hunted, right? And he was out of favor with Israel. And his son Absalom, who was a nasty sort of a devious character, right? Mm-hmm. Was leading the army of Israel. And anyway, so David and his men were at war with Israel. But what happened was that Absalom was galloping through the woods and his head got caught in a tree, right? And the lads came along and they speared him and killed him, right?
Yeah.
And they told David about this, thinking he'd be delighted, you know.
Yeah.
But this is what David said. It says in verse 33, it says, "And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate. And as he went, he said, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son.'"
Mm.
You know, it hit me like a ton of bricks reading that, Dave, because the guy was like a scoundrel, Absalom was, okay?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
David was his father.
Right.
And David was heartbroken. And all he could say was, my son. And then he said that amazing lines, "Would I had died instead of you." And that was like prophetic about the death of Jesus.
Right.
You know, us scoundrels, you know, and all the other scoundrels in the world, that Jesus did die for us all. And, you know, that great substitution happened.
Wonderful.
And I just think when Jesus died, you see, there wasn't good people on the earth. There was bad people on the earth.
Yeah.
He died for the baddies, not the goodies.
Yeah.
And it's kind of wild, isn't it, Dave, when you think of it that way?
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, he talks about how, you know, he didn't come for the righteous, but he came for the unrighteous. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You just hear the heart of God in that.
You do, but it cuts against the standard religious message, which is, oh, good people go to heaven.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, no one's good, but, you know, that Jesus came for us rebels, eh?
Yeah.
You're a rebel, Dave, eh?
Yeah.
And
thank God, you know, it was, you know, for me that he came one particular day and, you know, really brought this whole truth alive to me. And, you know, so that it kind of touched my heart and became real. Because if that didn't happen, I'd be as much of a scoundrel as I was at the outset.
Yeah, yeah. And it's quite extraordinary. Paul, in his writings, you see, he at the early days, he talks himself about the least of the saints, you know. And at the end of his writings, in his latter days, he was calling himself the chief of sinners.
Right.
It's like as he grew in the knowledge of God, he just grew in his conviction of how rotten he was in himself, you know.
Yeah,
that to me is amazing. So,
and all that does is that it increases our awareness of the magnitude of the mercy of God. You see, because, you know, as we grow older, religious people think, well, we should be getting more holy by now, you know. But all that happens is that we just see how great is the gap between, you know, ourselves
course,
and the one who's seated on the throne, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yeah.
And but that we know that the mercy of God is big enough for that gap, and that the blood of Jesus is enough for that gap.
That's the wild thing, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah,
I think that's what, you know, what God meant when he said to Paul, you know, Paul said, I beseeched God to take this thorn in the flesh away three times. And and God said to him, the reply was, but my grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah, wow.
And we kind of interpret that as meaning, you know, you'll get by. My grace is enough for you. You know, what do you expect? Do you expect something more? No, but what it means is that the grace of God is sufficient for, you know, whatever it is that surfaces in our lives that we never knew was there, because Jesus knew it was there when he went to the cross and died in our place. He knew it was there, and he included that under the blood of the sacrifice that he made on the cross.
That's right, all paid for, yeah.
All paid for, even the things that we didn't know were there.
Yeah, so Dave, it's kind of a bit like this, I think. As you grow in your relationship with God and as you mature in it, it's like the light of God becomes bigger. And it's like if I had these arc lights, right? And you thought you put on a lovely white shirt this morning. It was lovely and clean, you know.
I did. How did you know that?
Got lights that were so strong, right?
Yeah.
That they absolutely showed. You look to the shirt and you think, Janie Mac, that shirt is filthy. I thought it was a clean one.
Right.
Because I put it on and I was dressed half in the dark early in the morning, and it was just kind of looked all right. But in the bright daylight and the bright sunshine, it's like terrible. Now, our lives are like that, I think. As we come closer to Jesus, the darkness is shown, but you're dead right. The blood of the Lamb covers us, covers the sin and washes us. So we are actually separated from it, forgiven and free. It's the one. If there's one thing Ireland needs, if there's one thing humanity needs, it's forgiveness, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's just the realization of the magnitude of that forgiveness, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy, Philip Yancey, wrote this book about what's so amazing about grace.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he highlighted in it was that we can actually be scandalized by God's grace. That God forgives people, you know, that we never would.
Oh boy, you hit the nail in the head there.
If
I was God, I'd never let that fella away with it.
Well, that's it, you know, but he let us away with it. So,
well, he didn't actually let us away with it, just the wild thing. God paid for.
Yeah,
that's a big difference now, you know.
But you know what I mean.
I do.
That, you know, just the people that we wouldn't forgive, God does forgive. And you know that he's forgiven us.
Wow.
We don't have much to say on the subject ourselves, you know, looking at other people.
So anyway, do you know what I was thinking about? What were you thinking about, Dave?
I was thinking
about... You were thinking, Dave. I knew I smelt rubber burning.
Right. For, spiritual warfare.
Right.
Now, there's something that you don't hear me on all that often.
No.
Spiritual warfare.
Yes. What would that entail?
Well, I was looking at the passage in Scripture where it talks about Jehoshaphat when all the baddies came up and surrounded Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
And, his army was, you know, fairly pathetic. And all these other nations joined together to come up to wipe him out.
Yeah.
And I saw two principles in that passage of Scripture about that are very important principles for us as Christians in relation to spiritual warfare.
Right, what are they?
We know the story where Joshua got the people together to pray. The prophet spoke and said, you know, when you go out to fight the enemy in the morning, the singers and the dancers are to go first. And the warriors are to come afterwards.
Okay, so press the pause button there, Dave.
Yeah.
That is the bizarrest thing. Here we are, there's a warfare. They've got real swords. They've got real bows and arrows, you know. And they're vastly outnumber you, and they're coming for you, right?
Yeah.
And you say, send the singers first?
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's the first principle.
You know, put the karaoke team up front, hey?
Yeah, to sing the karaoke worship from heaven.
Yeah,
you know?
I know, and you make it light of this, but, you know, it's worship to God, yeah.
And in two Chronicles 20, verse 15, it tells you why the singers and the dancers were to go out.
Yeah, just remind
number
us there
one
of
reason
that.
Why.
Yeah.
The reason was, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Wow.
All right?
Wow.
And
not brilliant.
Now, but that was for the Old Testament folks, like Jehoshaphat.
Well, what's changed?
Well, what's changed is that we see this from the other side of Calvary.
Yeah.
The battle is not yours, but God's.
Mm.
That, and that the conquest of the enemy
has happened.
Has happened.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And
I like that. Yeah.
It's past tense.
Yeah.
So the enemy has been destroyed. You see?
It's like going in and sitting an exam that you know you've already passed.
Yeah, or going out to meet the the local bunch of tough guys who are gathered outside your gate to beat you up.
Yeah.
You know? When you know that they have already been beaten up and disarmed, and that the guy who beat them up is standing right beside you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
With his hand on your shoulder.
Yeah, wow.
You
wow,
see?
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes as Christians we get this idea, well, you know, we're the real mighty spiritual warfare people and we go out and we slay the enemy.
Mm.
Well, big deal. The enemy has already been slain. You see?
Yeah.
And praise and worship keeps that in our mind. It keeps our orientation correct.
I like that, Dave. Yeah, very good.
That the warfare is in celebration because, you know, the battle is not ours.
Yeah.
It was God's battle and he's won it and it's over.
Gosh, that explains a lot to me, Dave, you know, because I don't know why, but well, I felt led of the Lord when I do street evangelism on the street, I'd bring the guitar out and, you know, with the two or three people with me, we'd sing. You know, we'd sing to the Lord and worship a little bit, and then we'd get out there ministering, and we find it's always much better after we've sung, you know.
Right.
And
right.
There's no earthly explanation for that one.
Yeah.
But you're right, we've sung the victory of Jesus and how wonderful he is and whatever it is, and it's like, you know, it really does have the effect of binding the enemy. I love referring to Psalm 149. It's I often share this with people who are involved in worship. You know, they're up there and they're worried about tuning their guitar or getting the right key or they sound professional enough and all these kind of surface things they worry about. But, you know, I love directing them to the Word of God to show them how God is using them. And
yes.
And it says, let the high praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hands to wreak vengeance on the nations and chastisement on the peoples.
Right.
They're speaking about demonic kingdoms. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them the judgment written. This is the glory. This is glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord.
Mm.
So we get to execute the written judgment. Isn't that so cool, Dave?
Which is past tense.
Yeah, it's past tense. But it's like you've been given the warrant and the case has been decided.
Yeah.
And you just drive up the spiritual Black Mariah and toss them in the boot, you know.
And
one way of looking at it.
But, you know, it's this praise and worship, you know, this celebration, you see, that keeps it in our minds that this is a war that's already been settled.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Jesus told his disciples, you know, in my name you will... You know, you will exercise the spiritual warfare. In my name, you will exercise this authority. You know, what does that mean? Because, you know, to say in the name of Jesus is not a kind of some kind of religious mantra.
Right.
Basically, it's saying to, the spiritual opposition, it's saying, you know, if I tell you to do this, you can do it because I say it. Or do you want me to refer this to, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You know, because I can do, you can do it because I say it, or else, you know, I can go, you know, to a higher level. What do you want me to do?
Wow. Well, I have to say. That's fantastic, Dave. And of course, our time has run away with us again. And listen, thank you all for listening to Pilgrim Talk.
Right.
And, isn't it wild the way time gallops away with us, Dave?
Well, we'll have to take this up again because I only got to say the first bit.
Well, that's a teaser for next week. So,
that's a teaser for next week.
Tune in next time. And God bless you all. And thank you very much for listening. God bless you.
Yes. God bless you. Bye-bye.